Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald from Ghost Hunters International, and you're listening to Para Investigators Radio.
PIR Radio is mainly an opinionated talk radio show. All opinions, comments, or statement of facts expressed by PIR Radio's guests are strictly their own and do not represent or to be endorsed by PIR Radio, Paranormal Radio Online, their affiliates, or sponsors.
Welcome to PIR Radio. PIR Radio is sponsored by the Peach State Paranormal Society and www.hauntedtube.com. Let's now go get your paranormal radio experience with your hosts, Kurt Smith and Bill Horton.
Alrighty, you know it's Sunday now. It's PIR Radio time. Welcome everyone joining and tuning in and listening to us tonight. We are excited to have you live in the chat room, or if you listen to the podcast, we thank you for your listenership, and we really appreciate it. As always, we have a great show lined up, but before we go, just a few quick reminders. Don't forget to check out our website. It's at www.pirradio.com. Also, you can check us out on iTunes for our podcast and many podcast-catching sites out there. Don't forget, also, we are live now on Paranormal Radio Online, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central Time. We also stream to the People's Paranormal Radio Network and our new affiliate that has picked up our stream, the Afterlife Talk Radio Network. We appreciate everyone listening and tuning in. Don't forget, you can also catch the stream of PIR Radio on StreamFinder and I believe it's Upsnap. I just got us on Upsnap, but I don't have the number. I don't have the email in front of me, but you can catch us on Upsnap, too. Just check out their websites. As always, I have my host from the East Coast, Bill. He's from Philly. I'm sure it's probably, I'm going to guess, I'm going to do my psychic prediction of weather that this weekend was fair. Maybe highs in the upper 30s, you know, cloudy a little bit, but sunny, too. Am I right, Bill?
You are so close, Kurt. It was cloudy today in like the 45 or so, but it was allegedly going to snow 2 inches today, and guess what happened?
It didn't snow.
Exactly.
Woohoo!
Who knew? I mean, I heard from two people that it was supposed to snow, and there was nothing, so I don't know where these people get their misinformation from. Anyway, how are you, Kurt? How was your week?
Oh, my week's going good. We have just under a week left in the apartment, and we move to our new house next weekend. That reminds me. Thank you for telling me, Bill. Next Sunday, we may or may not have a show. It just depends on how the move goes and if I get the internet set up or not. Follow us on the Facebook page, and we'll know that'll keep you up to date on whether we're going to have a show or not. More likely, towards the later of the week, we'll know.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, that's okay. We can take one day off. We're just not going to spread it out that long. But, Kurt, you know, it's interesting. You know, I was thinking of something for the show, but maybe we'll do that after your move. Maybe if I say a word, then you can either respond to it with another word or respond to it with a statement. And you want to give it a try real fast?
The password is. Yeah, sure.
Okay, I'll say one word to you. You respond, and then you say one word back to me, and I respond. Okay. Obama.
Boiling over.
All right. You can try it back to me, okay?
Okay. Unions.
Prosperity. Good start. Okay, yeah. So that's something to look forward to. Yeah. This can really go in a neat direction. Yeah. But I just wanted to warn everybody that, you know, you can expect the best out of the worst of our mouths soon. Anyway. But I think we'll be very political because we do have very opposing perspectives and views, which is ironic for two working class guys.
And two hard working guys. You know, we're trying to earn a living out there.
Yeah, it should be fun. So we have to play with that a little bit and tweak it. But I thought let's just tease it a little out there.
Why not?
Anyway,
I like that.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, I just thought of that tonight. Yeah, I don't know why, but. Anyway,
like I said, that's the new, you know, the PIR. We're going to change it up. We're not just strictly paranormal anymore. We're going to go way beyond the paranormal.
We're going to start that tonight. Well, we're kind of venturing a little bit. You know, we're staying close to the paranormal, but we're kind of with the volcano story will be kind of a little different. But that's not paranormal. That's 2012, and I want to hammer home 2012 because I want people to be fearful. I want them to buy eggs and powdered milk and anything else and water.
Have you ever had that powdered milk stuff?
No, never. Mm-mm. No.
I don't know. I'm sure. I mean, well, you might have had it as a baby if you. I mean, the formula, but I guess it's different than powdered milk, though.
Yeah, I think it's kind of nasty. But anything that's powdered in the last 20 years is probably nasty. All right, so the paranormal story for the day is, in fact, we are going on a paranormal investigation. And Kurt, you know the story, right? Three strikes, you're out.
Yes.
Well, this is the place in Lincoln University, Pennsylvania, which is close to the Maryland border. So it's quite a ride from Philadelphia. This will be the third attempt to drive to Lincoln University to do a paranormal investigation. The person is called off twice at the last minute before. So, Lincoln University, this is your last chance for romance.
Three strikes and you're out.
That's it. I can't take it anymore. And, you know, one time his dog was sick. I don't know how sick his dog was, but anyway.
Is the guy think, or is this a guy or girl?
It's a couple, actually, an older couple. This is the place I actually like because, ironically, their houses are kind of spread apart, but I would say like a good city block away, there was another house that we investigated three times. And the two homeowners didn't actually know each other, nor did they know that they were both having paranormal activities. So it was quite interesting to find that two strangers in a neighborhood that were both having paranormal activity that are very historical. I believe there was a Civil War scuffles there and such. So very interesting.
Do you think what kind of claims are they claiming to have? Are they having something on the, is it something that's just, you know, having fun with them? Is it something on the evil side?
You know, as I recall, because like I said, this has been going on for 6 months, so the initial email is way back. I could look it up, but I really think it was just sightings, which is kind of not just a really, but that's pretty a wow, you know, and
yeah.
Noises and maybe voices or presence when they're sleeping. So, you know, so very typical haunting sort of things, but you know, nothing that's demonic or anything. Because you know, I love a good demonic story. You know,
true. Have you had a demonic case in a while?
No, you know, the only demonic case we had was in Delaware. Well, we had a couple that said they were, but we didn't sense it. But this was the only one where the psychics actually said something's demonic down there or something. And it wasn't even the demonic sense of the spirit. They just felt that the younger couple in this house, the daughter and her boyfriend, were actually involved in some kind of demonic sense, like they were either in drugs or dealing drugs, and that was the demonic sense of it. That they were bringing this evil into their house, ironically, but we couldn't say that in front of the mom because, I don't know, it wouldn't work right for us to do that. But that they all felt that when they got in the car. They were like, they're doing drugs or there's something illegal with them too. And I was like, what? Where's this all coming from? This isn't paranormal.
Well, hopefully the Lincoln University, this guy doesn't flake out on you this time.
No, I hope not, and that'll give us something good to talk about. You know, every good paranormal investigation team, I guess, runs into these problems. You know, one, with these no-shows or call-offs, and then two, we're actually having transportation issues because the one fellow that has the SUV doesn't want to drive because of the gas and says it's so far, so now I had to email Lori and see if she'll drive a little Honda, and well, four of us will pile up in there. So it's kind of like
road trip.
Oh, my God. Case management becomes transportation management. So, but all in all, I think we'll get there. And I hadn't heard back from Lori, but I might just try to get my brother's car. I have a pickup truck, so that can only seat three uncomfortably, you know?
Yeah, but you can get a lot of equipment in the back and hopefully don't have weather.
It's true. We could get a lot of equipment in the back. You're exactly. That's funny. Yeah. Who knew? Who would have thought? Well, you know, in the scope of life, you know, Kurt, I could always get a trailer, a hooded, you know, a full enclosed trailer, and call it the Ghost Lab.
That's already taken, though. You might get sued by them.
Yeah, but the show's off. They still hold the trademark to that trailer.
Probably.
I'll call it the Ghost Trailer.
Call it the. I have no idea.
I have no idea either. Anyway, so What was the first story? And I think you were going to do it, right?
No, after break, but you were going to give us your opinion. What we talked about is, you know, the big story of the week, though, was Grant's leaving of Ghostbusters or Ghost Hunters or whatever you call that show.
Grant was Ghostbusters. All right, so, yes, I was kind of, I don't have sci-fi anymore because I don't pay premium, not even premium cable, above low standard cable. So here at Comcast, I pay them $23.95 a month, and they don't give me sci-fi anymore. They did at one point. So I am sci-fi free. I can honestly say I haven't seen a Ghost Hunters episode in probably a year and a half.
See, I used to make a point to watch them just because I thought they were good, but I didn't make a point to watch it. You know, I think the only reason why I watched it this past week was because of they sucked me into the what's the big announcement.
And you got the announcement, which was?
Grant Wilson's leaving.
Holy moly, after 8 years. Wow. All right, so this one website, ParanormalDailyNews.com, has an article there. Was Grant fired? No. Is it illness? Is Ghost Hunters canceled? No, no, no. You know, is he going to come back? We don't know. Blah, blah, blah. Guest appearance? No. And he's still going to maintain the Spalding hotel or inn that him and Jason are partners in. But the rest of it is just no. Like, he's just going to go study music and art and get back to his hometown family thing. What do you think of that, Kurt?
Okay, he can go. I think the show pretty much has hit its peak a couple of years ago, and I don't think they're going to be on much longer.
Oh, you might be right. And you know what some people say? It's better to bow out when you're on top of the game.
Yeah, but it seems like, though, if you read a lot of the internet stories, that Grant has perpetrated a lot of frauds out there, but whether they've been proven or not, you know, you have your people that say he has, and you have your people that support him and says he hasn't.
Do you think, in all honesty, that this could have this, you know, because there was that jacket pull that's been on YouTube and some other things, that I said, wow, that makes sense, you know, because everybody will pick anything apart, but do you think his supposed fraudulent evidence has anything to do with this?
I would say no. I think it's more his family. I guess what it seems like. I mean, if you watched the latest episode, it could be family, but I think it's more he's lost interest in it. He's burned out.
Yeah, it could be. And 8 years is a long time. Well, 8 years is about how long I've been hanging out with Laurie Hall, and I'm not ready to quit. But anyway, I don't do a TV show, which is very hard. It is hard on your personal life.
It's time-consuming, yes.
And commentary and stress and these conventions they do. Everyone thinks, yeah, they're making $1 million, but you know what? It's not worth it sometimes when you're burning yourself out and separating your family. And that could be just the cause.
True. I think he knows something that he doesn't want to be on the team when the team they lose the contract and it ain't going to be on TV anymore.
Right.
But I don't know. That's just speculation, but you know, I could say anything. It's just rumor. I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't have any idea. But you know what? It will come out. And the things that I read about this whole situation with them is, in fact, that you know, Grant would be going off on his own.
Yeah, because I know he has something to do with Pilgrim Films or something. I read something somewhere where he's going to come back with a different show or something.
And that could be so. That could be very probable, I think, at this point.
And it's a possibility, but who knows?
Right. No. Well, anything's possible. But I think him leaving is a big, big step for the show. And oh, the one interesting question they were asking,
that was the magic check.
Really? Is that true?
Yeah, someone calling for money. Probably. We need money.
Some magic. You got to pay magic. Yeah, call them back. But also, I lost my train of thought. Will a new lead investigator take over for Grant?
I don't think so.
All right. So, well, these are a lot of good questions that they ask. We'll see what happens in the future. I mean, you know what they say. It's like anything else, Kurt. They always tell you, it's like a good politician. They promise you the world and say one thing, and then, you know, he probably has a no compete clause or something for, you know, 6 months or 3 months or something. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that, I'm sure.
No talk clause, at least, so he can't rightly say anything until he's separated enough time from the show. So,
who knows?
Which leads us to what?
Break time.
Already?
All right.
You know, when we come back from break, we're going to talk about, are babies born with intuitive psychic knowledge or not? Find out after this quick message from Parapods. You're listening to PIR Radio tonight with Kurt and Bill, live every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Paranormal Radio Online Network. Enjoy this message from Parapods. We'll be right back after this message.
Are you a paranormal radio show host? Your podcast not getting enough hits? And you want more? There is a brand new solution for you. A free podcast directory for your paranormal listening needs. Visit Parapods at www.parapods.com. That's www.parapods.com.
And now, back to your regularly scheduled program on PIR Radio.
Alrighty, you're back with PIR Radio, and now we're going to talk about I found this article. It's very interesting, Bill, and it's from a University of Missouri researcher, and what they're saying is babies are born with intuitive psychic knowledge. So I'm going to read the story real quick, and let's just break it down and talk about it a little bit. I just want to get what your opinion is too, and then I'll give my opinion too, of course. But this article came from the Before It's News website. It's www.beforeitnews.com. It's on there. I'll post a link too, also on the PIR front page too. So if you want to check it out, and all stories that we discuss will be posted on the front page, just like I did last week about the Bill's UFO story and then the Cloud in the Face YouTube video, which was pretty interesting. But this researcher, you know, this article says, while it may appear that infants are helpless creatures that only blink, eat, cry, and sleep, one University of Missouri researcher says that studies indicate infant brains come equipped with knowledge of intuitive psychics. In the MU Developmental Cognition Lab, we studied infant knowledge of the world by measuring a child's gaze when presented with different scenarios, said Christy Van Marley, an assistant professor in the Department of Psychological Sciences in the College of Arts and Science. We believe that infants are born with expectations about the objects around them. Even though that knowledge is a skill that's never been taught, as a child develops, this knowledge is refined and eventually leads to the abilities we use as adults. Christy Van Marley, assistant professor in the Department of Psychological Sciences, says studies show infants possess intuitive knowledge of psychic principles. Give credit to the University of Missouri. In a review of related scientific literature from the past 30 years, Van Marley and Susan Hespos of Northwestern University, which is in Chicago, found that the evidence for intuitive psychics occur in infants as young as 2 months, the earliest age at which testing can occur. At that age, infants show an understanding that unsupported objects will fall and that hidden objects do not cease to exist. Scientific testing also has shown that by 5 months, infants have an expectation that non-cohesive substances like sand or water are not solid. In a previous publication, Van Marley found that children as young as 10 months consistently choose larger amounts when presented with two different amounts of food substance. We believe that infants are born with the ability to form expectations and that they use these expectations basically to predict the future, Van Marley said. Intuitive psychics include skills that adults use all the time. For example, when a glass of milk falls off the table, a person might try to catch the cup, but they are not likely to catch the milk that spills out. The person does not have to consciously think about what to do because the brain processes the information and the person simply reacts. The majority of an adult's everyday interaction with the world are automatic, and we believe infants have the same ability to form expectations, predicting the behavior of objects and substances with which they interact. While the intuitive psychic knowledge is believed to be present at birth, Van Marley believes parents can assist skill developmental through normal interactions such as playing and talking with a child, encouraging him or her to interact with objects. Despite the intuitive psychic knowledge, a parent probably cannot do much to get their child ahead at the infant stage, including exposing him or her to videos marketed to improve math or language skills, Van Marley said. Natural interaction with a child, such as talking to him, her, playing peekaboo, and allowing him or her to handle safe objects, is the best method of child development. Natural interaction with the parents and objects in the world gives the child all the input that evolution has prepared the child to seek and accept and use to develop intuitive psychics. The study, Psychics for Infants, Characterizing the Origins of Knowledge About Objects, Substance, and Number, is published in the January issue of Wires Cognitive Science. That's W-I-R-E, lowercase s, Cognitive Sciences. So that's the story that I have today. So it's pretty interesting, you know, because I have a newborn.
Well, Kurt, that's what I was going to say. I think as young as 12, 10 months, they said, so you're above that. You're almost 2 years, right? Is it 2 years?
Yep. Yep. She'll be two on the 26th in 1 week.
So what kind of objects do you show your child to make her more, her cognitive behavior more psychic?
I don't think I mean, she has her toys. She loves books. She loves to read.
Can she read already?
She can't read, but we read to her. I mean, she picks.
I see.
We read like 6 books before she goes to bed, and you know, we just, you know, she's not, you know, she speaks, she says some stuff, but she's smart, because when you say like dog bone sponge, she'll point to right where the dog bone sponge is, a ball, she'll point right to it. She'll go feet, she'll go puppy, she'll go fish. I mean, she's.
That's awesome.
She's very aware of what's going around, especially, you know, if I would have read this story before I had my baby, I think I would have been more in tune, to just to see what's going on, how she's interacting, you know.
Well, that reminds me of some, I don't know if it was a story or somebody we had on where, or maybe it was a psych, maybe it was somewhere where we were, ghost hunted, but I remember there being a story where somebody's grandmother had passed, and this baby, this infant, would always point and look up. And then, of course, somebody took a picture, and there was some shadow or an orb or something there. But the baby was always giggling and act like somebody was, you know, soothing them or tickling them, you know, comforting them.
Well, that comes down to to, you know, talking with people that, you know, earlier shows like Barry Fitzgerald. He always has that. He always, when we talked about it, the first time I talked to him, interviewed him, he gave me his theory of, you know, children, you know, even as infants all the way up to age 13, the UV protectant around their eyes hasn't fully developed. So his theory is that children can actually see, are more cognitive to seeing something that's, you know, on the other side compared to an adult, because of just the way, you know, your eyes are fully developed at a certain age.
That's awesome, because that makes total sense to me, because if you're able to see a broader spectrum at a younger age because your eyes aren't developed, that totally makes sense that you could see this next sort of dimension or contrasting sort of imagery like that we're trying to capture with these, you know, cameras today.
I would like to, I'm going to do a little bit more reading up. I just want to see the statistical data because, you know, I wonder how they came to their conclusion, though. I mean, I know they said they studied for, like in one point, you know, they say children 10 months constantly chose larger amounts. I'd like to see how long they did that study and what, do they have a study, you know, where the statistical data that they had so many, you know, boys and so many girls.
But that's survival. That's human nature and animal
nature. Yeah. I think, you know, I know I probably picked out the larger amount.
That's funny because, you know, where I went to eat tonight, did you see that on Facebook? I went to the Grand Buffet in Franklin Mills Mall, and let me tell you, that place was packed.
Buffets are good.
They were pulling.
I love Golden Corral.
This is the biggest buffet that I've ever seen in my life, Asian sort of, and they have all kinds of stuff. Anyway,
but I would tend to agree with this article, though. I would say I think babies do have some intuitive knowledge when they're born. I think it helps them out. I think it really does.
I think you're going to be a fair parent when your child says to you, you know, at some age, maybe three, when she really starts talking forward, she says, you know, Daddy, there's Michael or Johnny or Susie I'm talking to.
You have to listen to them and, you know, just hear what they say. You can't block that stuff out. I mean, like you said, you have to be fair. I mean, if not, I mean, your child's gonna be scared. They're not gonna come talk to you. You know, are they gonna go to sleep? Are they gonna be a nightmare child where they're not gonna get any sleep and then they're just monsters all the time?
That's true. Because I think when you might shut these kids down or close us out, they're gonna live in their own fear. Meaning, these things that should not be fearful might become fearful because they have no way to express and are an outlet, you know?
And I think that'll help down the road, because if you're going to listen to hear what, you know, what they have to say, you know, and I think it goes back, you know, they see that, okay, Mommy and Daddy are listening, you know, when Mommy and Daddy are saying something too, you know, in regards to something like that, they're going to listen to you and take your, you know, because they're growing up, they're going to take your word for it.
Oh, yeah, and it just makes better dialogue, too, as you grow up, so you're not just, you know, I don't know how there wasn't a lot of dialogue in my house because my father died when I was at a young age, but also my mother was Korean, and so we'd talk, but we wouldn't talk, you know? So I think that was because there was none of that openness when I was really young, like it was just business, you know?
You know, and I know I'll experience that too, because, you know, with my daughter being two, she's growing up quickly. I mean, all I hear right now is "no daddy, no daddy." It's so cute, but it's gonna be interesting. You know, I'll be able to tell stories and talk about it. So I'm excited about it. You know, it's interesting.
Sounds great. I'm glad you're going to be open to all that. If she.
You have to be. You know, you can't close your kids off. You can't just close them off.
All right, I got the ultimate question for you.
Okay.
She says, "Daddy, I'm a Republican." What would you say?
Good girl. But, you know, it's her choice, whatever she wants to be. Who knows if we'll have the two-party system by the time she's...
It might just be one world, one currency, one.
The new world order's coming. You never know.
Never can tell.
All right, Bill, as you can hear, you know the music's playing, so you know what that means.
Break time.
Break time, that's right. Alrighty, folks, you're listening to PIR Radio live tonight on the PIR Network, so please enjoy the song, and we'll be right back after these messages. Alrighty, guys, be right back.
We'll be right back. program on BIR Radio.
Did I lose Bill?
No, I'm here. Oh, I thought you were going to bring us back.
No, it's your turn.
Welcome back to PIR Radio. You just were listening to who, Kurt?
That was Fundamentum by Lesiem. L-E-S-I-E-M. Good group, Fundamentum. Dominos. It's like a Latin song.
Awesome. See, that was a dead silent space. Anyway, John from Haps got a question.
Okay. John asks, if you whistled in a location like house and something whistled back, you might think it was an echo, right? But what if you whistled a different tune and got nothing but went back to that original tune and got the whistle again? What would you think?
The same tune that you whistled?
Would you think it's paranormal?
Absolutely. I would.
Okay, if you whistle at a location and something whistled back at you, you might think it's an echo. Okay, true. But what if you whistled a different tune and got nothing but went back to the original tune and got the whistle again?
So, yeah, right.
Okay, so you went to one tune and you got something back, but then you changed the tune of your whistle, didn't get anything back, but then you went back to the original tune.
So basically, you changed up and got the original, I think, is the point.
I could lean towards paranormal. I would.
Too.
It could go either way, though.
Your buddy's outside playing a trick on you through the, you know, whistling through the window or something.
True.
But I think it would be paranormal, absolutely. Because, you know, when you're whistling something, you think it's echo back.
It could be pitch, though. I'm just going on the skeptic side. I think it could be paranormal, but then on the skeptic side, is it pitch? Is it a high pitch it's echoing? If you reach a certain pitch, will it echo? If you don't, will it not echo?
That's true. And yeah.
When you're a kid, you know, you every once in a while when you screamed outside, you can get an echo. You ever remember doing that?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You would scream something and you wait a second and it would echo back.
Right.
I mean.
But it would always sound different. It wouldn't, you know.
Yeah, so true. So, I mean, I'm just playing the skeptic side of it, though. I would think, you know, you could classify it as something that's not normal, yes.
I agree. But anyway, I'm going to talk about this real interesting story that comes out of Australia. This is from beforeitsnews.com.
Another shrimp on the Barbie, sorry.
they're going to put some people in the Barbie dinner, but
sounds like it.
Australia becomes the first to ban travelers who refuse naked body scanners. Come on now. What do you think about this? This is crazy. So, what, are they refusing them going out? Is that how it is? Because you have to get scanned before you get to the airport?
Is it for their domestic flights or their international flights?
Oh, it's just. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just getting into the airport because, you know, just like here, when you go to the airport, you can't get past the gate. You have to get scanned before you're able to take off. So, I would think that they're trying to make it mandatory for you to get body scanned, and if you don't, you can't get through. And now people are complaining because they're thinking radiation, of course, and other safety matters. But
and those Australians are really taking it to the extreme.
Yeah, it's Australia's attempt at a no-scan, no-fly policy, surely to be cited as a precedent for global travel, including the United States. That's kind of crazy.
I don't know. Unfortunately, you know, with all the crazies that are out there in the world, you know, I mean, why did it have to come to this? You know, look, take a look of the evolution of the airport, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s. I remember when in the 80s, you know, when I was growing up, you know, you could go to the terminal and wait at the terminal and wait for your passenger who, you know, we always picked up our grandfather at the airport, so we got to go down to the terminal. You went through the metal detectors, but that's all they had.
Even more importantly was, you know, that was nice to do because it was like a hurrah when they got, you know, through that little hole or the doorway. And then the other nice thing was, you know, if you really wanted to go have, you know, a sandwich with somebody before they left, like that, spend that last extra hour with them before, and actually, you know, wave them off the plane, you know, onto the plane, you know, and That's a big. I always wondered, like, you know, that really sucked when that changed. And I think for some of the younger travelers, they know nothing but security. So, but that, which leads me to the next thing. So the next generation will know. They won't know anything we're just talking about being able to go to the terminal, because all they're going to, you know.
Because you can't, unless you're a ticketed passenger or an authorized adult going with a ticketed minor, you can't get in the terminal anymore.
Right. But I think I don't know. We have the option in this country right now, but I think that's going to change reading this article. That we're in competition with everyone else, so we always want to be top dogs here in the United States. So we're going to end up doing that. But right now, they're slowly starting to contest these things. And what the United States policy, as I understand it, not that I've flown recently, is that if you decide not to go through if you're selected and they say go through the scanner, and you decide not to, then it's a body search or a frisk.
So, oh, it's a complete body search.
Complete. What's that mean?
Oh, they're taking you to the room and
room?
They're going to strip you naked.
They're going to put an implant in. I tell you what, they're going to track you for the rest of your life.
It could be alien. But you know, on this story, if you take a look, someone posted, Australia used to be a very cool place to live and raise a family. Now it's a pile of shit. Following in Yank footsteps, so they're blaming us Americans for their for their rule. But you know, we haven't made that. You know, it's not mandatory to go through a body scanner. I mean, there's other ways to go around that. But I wonder what happens if you have someone like. Someone that has like a pacemaker or, you know, a defibrillator.
Maybe this implant or this chip or this identification card would, you know, play a role, or, you know, where they can say, oh, this person has this thing and they can't go through this.
Have you been through a, I haven't flown since, I've flown, but I haven't gone through a, you know, a body scanner, or I haven't even been searched or whatever.
Well, I hear if you're blonde and have big enough boobs that you can go through a scan, you can get searched three times or go through a scanner three times.
I heard about that. Some lady get the TSA sent her through three times. I think what it was is that they thought she was cute or something. I thought it was something like that.
Oh, okay. It wasn't the size of the breast. That's all right. You know, what is this world coming to? You know, this reminds me. I read a story that somebody actually complained. They were robbed from the TSA. I think it was $9,000. This seems to be a new thing where the TSA and the luggage handlers are stealing jewelry and, you know, excessive valuables out of people's luggage, and or, you know, when you put the basket through and your luggage goes through,
uh-huh.
They're actually lifting these valuables out. And one got caught with a laptop.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
I wonder if, you know, if they're stealing this money, if what would be funny is to place a die pack full of a money die pack in the suitcase, and when they open it up, it explodes on them.
Yeah, because you know what? I imagine they're probably they probably have to hide this money on their person to get it to their locker room, or, you know, out to the parking lot or whatever. But they probably, you know.
Don't they say that you're not supposed to even, you know, lock your luggage now, because in case you have to, in the case that, you know, because you drop your luggage off, you know, at baggage check-in, and I thought they say now that not to lock it, because if they have to search it.
Yeah, of course. Then now they have also TSA-approved locks, meaning all the keys are the same, or there's a master key that will open your luggage that the TSA support. So there's you know, standard keys that are now sort of the master key that the TSA agent can have to open these preferred locks. So I think that was a pretty smart idea.
And it's all because of the underwear bomber.
And by the way, the underwear bomber, in fact, got life in prison.
I wonder, you know the human rights activist has got to be going crazy, because he's going to spend the rest of his life in a U.S. jail, but he's not even a U.S. citizen.
They're not going to deport him?
Our government don't deport anyone.
No. Is that true? We have to look into that, Kurt. That'll be a good topic. Because, you know, they're privatizing all the prisons right now. There's a company.
That's because states can't can't handle the financial burden.
Yeah, but they're selling. I don't know. This company is, prepared to buy the correction institution and also take a stipend from the state or fed per inmate. And so I don't know how that makes it cheaper, but
I would have no. I think it would make it more expensive.
I would think too, but maybe they have a more efficient way of running a correction institution than our government, which kind of makes sense because our government, anything they run kind of runs like shit.
Heck, man, you get some nice health care if you're in jail, and you get nice meals, you know.
Well, that
jail's not supposed to be like that, though. I would think prison's not supposed to be like that.
That's why these guys go in there to become lawyers, because they have nothing better to do, and rightly so, that they should also get an education. I do believe that, but I don't know. It's some people. That's why they actually come out, commit another crime, so they can get back in because they're to their comfort zone where everything's provided.
Yeah, be a burden on the taxpayer.
Right. So. But I don't see how privatizing this is going to be cheaper in the long run, because they make claims, but then the billing system always seems to go the opposite way.
Yeah, then the taxpayer has to pay for it because the state made the mistake of hiring the private company.
Yeah, of course, and that's what I was going to. My next question would have been the legalities of them mishandling somebody could also become a liability in a second sense for the state, because now. Instead of being a direct liability, you can sue the corporation and then still sue the state, because the state, a private corporation is not a governing body of this, of the law.
True, but, I also, talking about private corporations, did you know, if I read it right, just a real quick blurb before we go to break, that private companies can actually do eminent domain in the state of Texas? I read that. There was a big argument about that in on one of the talk radio shows I listened to and on Facebook. So it was interesting. Did you know that?
You know what I'm going to say, Kurt, and then we can go to break? That's pathetic. That's sad. They do it now without the authority through local government. And to give them, an open right to do this eminent domain is just horrible, because there's enough loss and damage from these people, corporations now, through city councils and other local authorities. I think it's disgusting.
I'm with you. I agree with you on that. I think it makes me sick. Really, so really sick.
Let's go to break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about
Mount Fuji.
And this is, Kurt, I really want people to be aware that 2012 is coming up, December 21st. 2012 is coming up, and they better hold on to their shit-stained skinnies, because you know what? We're going to go for a ride. All this stuff's going to happen, and they better have some kind of food storage or something.
I'm going to hold you to it.
All right.
All right. We'll be right back. You're listening to PIR Radio live on the PRO Radio Network. We'll be right back.
And now, back to your regularly scheduled program on PIR Radio.
Well, when the producer presses the wrong button, that could be a blooper, but we'll be right back. Hold on one second. We'll be right back after this message.
PIR Radio will be right back after these messages.
Are you a paranormal radio show host? Your podcast not getting enough hits? And you want more? There is a brand new solution for you. A free podcast directory for your paranormal listening needs. Visit Parapods at www.parapods.com. That's www.parapods.com.
And now, back to your regularly scheduled program on PIR Radio.
Alrighty, we're back in. We had a little blooper there, but you know what? We have fun. It happens. You know that, Bill?
Yep, shit happens.
Yes, it does. I hit the wrong button, but oh well, it happens. But, I think this is our 2012 segment. So Bill has a story about how he's going to link Mount Fuji and a possible eruption in 2012. So
I think, Kurt, this is all big to do. There's more disasters. There's places that are frozen that are not supposed to be. And, you know, the whole climate has changed. And, you know, people theorize that this is just, you know, the Mother Earth getting ready to...
But then you're going to have scientists that say that, you know, that's just, you know, that's Earth. It's going through a thawing, and then it's going to freeze again. You know, it does that in rotation.
Yeah, but they always have these schedules. I thought in my lifetime I wasn't going to see any of this.
Me too, but it's happening.
I think you need to build a shelter when you move into that house. Build a shelter. They have you can get one of them Connexes, you know, shipping containers. Dig it up, put it down there, and pour concrete over it, and you'll be good.
I don't want to scare the hell out of my neighbors right away.
Do it the first time. Oh, it's a bunker.
It's a bomb. We're going to get nuked by Iran. But let's talk about Mount Fuji. What can you give us about Mount Fuji?
Well, they're just saying it's finally awakening after 300 years of silence. I mean, that's a long time, right?
That is a long time, but it sounds like it's not a dead volcano then.
No, it's at risk for an eruption. So I don't really know if this is really a 2012 thing, but I think there's more plate shifting, there's more volcanoes, there's more tsunami sort of things going on.
Do you think with the earthquake in I forget the name of the place. Was it Fukushima?
No, I don't. When did that happen?
Last year, that earthquake with the
with
the tsunami and all that. Do you think that with the Earth shifting like that? Do you think that set Mount Fuji off? Do you think it's a possibility that could have set Mount Fuji to start erupting? I think it's a possibility.
It's a possibility. Yeah, once you have these, you know. This hot ball of fire. I mean, I know we talked about earlier about the second dimension in inner Earth. You know, but I think this is more. This is probably more practical that the eruptions and the lava and the other. You know that once things start shifting, it's like a crack in an egg. You know, you can't stop it.
You know, this mountain, Mount Fuji, has. You know, the last time it erupted was back in 1707. So that's.
It's a long time.
It could be building up a lot of pressure, a lot of frustration.
Yeah. Well, steam was observed erupting from the vents. I mean, that's you know, sort of like a giveaway that something's going to happen. You know.
I think so. I mean, did you? I sent you a link to that YouTube video. What did that? I haven't. I didn't watch it because it was posted on Facebook. I saw it right because you had sent me the story about Mount Fuji, and I'm like, I checked my Facebook before show, and it's like, wow, well, you know, synchronicity. I mean, you know, Mount Fuji, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's a video on Facebook on YouTube.
It was actually a story. You know, you go to these websites and you can type in text, and they talk to you. So they use that. Voice, the digital voice, and they were basically talking about Mount Fuji and the system and the things leading up to it and what created that. So, but
yeah, they say a 6.4 magnitude quake occurred under the volcano almost a year ago today, March 15th, and then Dr. Masaki Kimura of Ryukyu University. Hopefully, I said that right. Ryukyu, Ryu, says that you know. There's a huge imminent possibility that it could erupt. But wasn't Mount Fuji one? You know, you ever watch that show Destination Truth?
No. Did they go there?
I thought they went there because there was a. I thought that it has something to do with a rash of suicides. People go up there to commit suicide in that region, Mount Fuji region. I thought, if I'm understanding it right, I could be wrong, but I thought they went there.
You could be right. I don't recall that episode. I don't watch that as often as I like to because I actually like the way they go to get down to business. But that could be very well. We have to research that and bring that back up but I don't think that has any correlation with 2012 and or the volcano erupting. But I think
that's right. It is. It was the haunted forest of Mount Fuji. I just Googled it real quick.
Nice.
But they, you know, so I wonder if all those suicides too are leading to, you know, is it a factor of what's going on?
It could be, actually. You know? I mean, that could be... Usually people are attracted to magnetic shifts and
yeah, because the story says in 2002, 78 bodies were found within Mount Fuji. By May 2006, at least 16 new suicides have been found. So, interesting place.
But suicide also, I think, attracts its own type, sort of like people, birds of a feather flock together. So when they know there's this sort of place, I think they also, you know, get that idea set in their head, and then they go forth with it, you know. So
yeah, and you know, I actually saw my first. I didn't witness it, but working for the school bus, I drove the public transportation, and one day we were waiting at the train station. I was in my bus, which is right, you know, parked. And you can see the tracks coming in. And I was just in my bus, and I hear the, I was just waiting for the train to come in. It was a train before ours, that before we left, and the train is blaring his horn, and all of a sudden, you know, it stopped.
Really?
I got out of my bus, and I went to the bus behind me to my buddy, and he goes, did something happen? I mean, you normally don't hear the train blow his horn that loud. And
just waiting at the crossing, the gate came down.
No, it wasn't. It was there was no gate. It was pulling into the train station.
I see. Oh, to pick people up or drop them off.
And then I saw one of the standby driver. He was on the platform coming down, and he just said, "Did you just see what happened?" I go, "No, I heard the train's horn." And he goes, "This guy just jumped in front of the train, and I saw it."
Oh my God! Wow!
And he's like, "You're kidding." So I went to my bus and called it in saying that we're going to be delayed about 90 minutes, because usually there's about a 90-minute delay. Got back out of my bus, and the other driver goes, "Come here, look at this." And I saw the guy. He was underneath the train with his hands, you know, like, you know, when you're in a casket, you got your hands folded together. Usually they put them, like, in your towards your mid, you know, your midsection. It was creepy.
Well, how did he end up like that? Who did that? I mean, did he get hit?
He got hit by the train. He walked. He came out of the. There's a tunnel, and then there's like a place where you can hang out for waiting for the trains. And I guess he walked out in front of the. From what my buddy said, he stepped on the tracks and walked out in front of the train and got hit.
Wow. And then, how did his hands end up in this sort of, you know,
freak? I couldn't tell you. I mean, that's just the way he got hit.
Get out of here.
I swear to God.
Talk about act of, you know, spirituality here, you know? I mean, that's kind of creepy in itself, you know?
Yeah, it was one of those weird, and just like, oh, come on.
Are you sure nobody put his hands like
that? No, no one touched him. No one, you know, he's underneath the train. He was underneath, like, the fifth car.
Wow.
So, you know, none of the passengers are allowed to get off. No one jumped down.
Kurt, in reality, kind of seen some dead people while the guy got shot, but I didn't really see him. You know what I mean? They kind of had him covered up, I think, or they were covering up. But he was like a half a block away, so I really didn't see him. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know how close you are, but even when that happened to me, I started thinking about life and appreciation. Yeah, and I know you have a baby, I don't have a baby, but just, you know, just doing things that I want to do before, you know, the bucket list or whatever. Did anything like that? I mean, did you worry about your family or, you know?
I was just mind-boggling. It's like, you know, if I ever, you know, hopefully I won't do something like that. You know, if I'm in need of something, you know, there's a ton of support out there, you know.
No, I don't mean that in that sense. I meant seeing somebody in that situation. Also, I might think, like when I saw this guy, I said, you know, how would people react if I had passed, not suicide, but if I just passed? And you kind of count the things and look at the things and who would be hurt and affected.
Yeah, my family, my wife and my daughter.
Yeah, and it hurts. It kind of made me rethink life a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, I should be doing things for me and helping people as I always do, but, you know, just kind of being a little more focused and not.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, that was a hell of an ending you put out there, Kurt. And I apologize. I mean, I'm sorry to hear that you know, I don't think it's a comforting thought to see somebody in this situation, especially knowing the circumstances.
Yeah, it's like, you know, there's so much help out there nowadays. It's like, you know, if he could have just reached out for some help, somebody would have been able to help him.
Yeah, could be.
But
well, I think it's bringing us to the top of the hour. It comes and goes, boy.
I know, it goes by quick lately, but you know, don't forget the man who talks to angels. It comes on live here in about 5 minutes on the PIR radio network, so hopefully you enjoy his show. But you know, Bill, it's all you before we leave. Do you got anything else before we...
You know, I really hope that we were able to go on this investigation tomorrow in Lincoln University here in Pennsylvania. That's really going to excite me. I'm going to work out transportation. Maybe I'll get my brother's car.
Cool.
But outside of that, I think, you know, things are quiet on the paranormal, on our project list right now. We have a couple upcoming overnights and stuff and historical locations, but nothing major to report. I don't know why it's quiet.
It could just be, you know, that time of the year maybe. I'm sure it'll pick up though.
I'm sure it will.
Give it time. But okay. Nothing new on my end. Check the Facebook to check for if there's going to be a show this next Sunday. If not, there'll be one the following Sunday. As always, hopefully you got your paranormal radio experience with PIR Radio on the PIRO Radio Network as we keep it. Oh, I said the two words. Dang it. Man, it's blooper Sunday. Don't forget to listen to PIR Radio on the PIR Radio Network. Right, Bill?
That's right. And keep it paranormal. Until next week.
We'll see you. Be safe.
Thank you for listening to PIR Radio. Come back every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the ASPRN Radio Network and the PRO Radio Network to get the very best in paranormal radio on the Internet. Please visit our website at www.pirradio.com. PIR Radio is sponsored by the Peach State Paranormal.